Good morning. This is Bill Shadell with 5 minutes of the latest news, brought to you by Hunt Club, the full-diet dog meal made by Animal Foundation Incorporated. The news from Korea this morning is a report of American patrols crossing the boundary into North Korean territory. South Koreans continuing their advance against stiffening enemy resistance, stepped-up air force attacks on communist troop concentrations, and an additional 10,000 communist prisoners of war. The first Americans to cross the boundary are identified as a small force from the 1st Cavalry Division, jumping off from the town of Kaesong, 2 miles south of the border. Their attack is along one of the main roads running north from Seoul. South Koreans, meanwhile, push another of their divisions into North Korea from Wijongbu on another main highway. This makes a total of 4 South Korean divisions now across the border. The most spectacular drive is that along the east coast, now within 10 miles of the important port of Wonsan. The lack of news of some 7 Allied divisions, however, creates the keenest alert for developments. The movement of these divisions is kept a military secret, which gives rise to speculation as to their regrouping or possible disposition for the knockout blow. There's another announcement from the Chinese Communists relative to Far Eastern affairs. The Vice Premier of Red China warns that Tibet and Formosa are due to be liberated, a warning which comes on the heels of another announcement that northern Tibet had been invaded by Chinese Communist troops. Both announcements are circulated by the Communist New China News Agency. Here at home, the Army encourages a new recruiting drive among National Guard organizations to build up our trained manpower reserve. The goal is 200,000 men between the ages of 18 to 35. The Army says men of draft age will be deferred if they enlist in the Guard before they get their induction orders, but Guardsmen will have no guarantee against their units being called into federal service. We're speaking to you from Los Angeles this morning, where former Guardsmen, servicemen, veterans of all ages are gathering for the annual convention of the American Legion. The big show opens this afternoon with a parade of the fund makers, to be followed by a solemn ceremony, a memorial service. Tomorrow, the beginning of business sessions and the speeches, emphasizing universal military training, anti-communist measures, preparedness. Among the speakers will be former Secretary of Defense Lewis Johnson, California's Governor Earl Warren, Republican Senator Carl Munt of South Dakota. In Asbury Park, New Jersey, another big veterans convention is in progress, the 55th annual encampment of the Jewish War Veterans. Addressing this group last night, Secretary of the Army Frank Pace pointed out the need for a bigger Army, Navy, and Air Force in the years to come because, said Pace, we have learned that communist imperialism now is ready to resort to open aggression. The nation's fall elections are not to be ignored in the speeches of public officials this weekend. Vice President Alvin Barkley, swinging through the South Central states on his way to the West Coast, blasts away at those Republicans who spoke out against General Marshall's appointment as Defense Secretary. President Truman is back in Washington today, tanned and relaxed after an 8-day cruise on the presidential yacht. A busy week in labor management relations. Workers in 3 key industries open their drives for higher wages, and that's the news up to now. Now a word about Hunt Club, the full diet meal that adds so much to the pleasure of owning a dog. All the things that make a dog lovable, that make dog ownership an experience in happiness for the whole family, are very, very largely a result of proper feeding. Now, thanks to nutritional research, correct feeding has been made very simple for any dog owner. One food is all a healthy dog needs when you feed the full diet meal, Hunt Club Dog Meal. Every pound of Hunt Club contains all 10 essential amino acids in its protein supply, abundant heat and energy values in easily digested form, 15 different vitamins that contribute to health, and 11 minerals. It is blended to meet the standards of the Animal Foundation and appetite appeal that is so pleasing to dogs. Isn't this the diet you and your dog have been looking for? It is the Hunt Club Full Diet. Look for it on your dealer's shelf. It should be there. This is Bill Shadell inviting you to make a regular habit of listening to CBS News, and this is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Columbia Broadcasting System extends to you an invitation to learning, an invitation to join 3 guests as they discuss today Science and the Modern World by Alfred North Whitehead. This program is the first in a new series of discussions about thought and letters of our time. Chairman of Invitation to Learning is Lyman Bryson. His guests are Irwin Edmond, Johnsonian Professor of Philosophy at Columbia University, and author of Philosopher's Quest, and Sidney Hook, professor of philosophy at New York University and author of The Hero in History, A Study in Limitation and Possibility, and Education for Modern Man. For Invitation to Learning's discussion of Science and the Modern World by Alfred North Whitehead, here is Lyman Bryson.
25 years ago, a book came out from a man who had been known up to that time as a great mathematician. As a matter of fact, he had had a career in an English university, and at 65, retired and came to the United States to teach at Harvard. This book, Science in the Modern World, which in spite of difficulties was a great popular success. It was reprinted 6 or 7 times in the first 2 years, an astonishing thing for a book of its kind. Of course, Whitehead was a humanist as well as a mathematician. He'd been brought up in an atmosphere of history and literature, and he wrote as a humanist. But the book has extraordinary difficulties in it. It's a book of mixed difficulty and appeal. Was it the doctrine? Was it what Whitehead was trying to say? Well, let's decide what he was trying to say. I think, Mr. Bryson, what he was trying to do was to make science intelligible in the world of ordinary experience, and to counteract the impression that the results of science made man an alien in the cosmos. He did that by contending that it'd be necessary to modify the fundamental categories of traditional science and substitute for what was called, what he calls, mechanistic material.
Do you want the right to buy yellow oleomargarine at the same price as white? If you do, vote yes on Proposal 4, November 7th, for yellow margarine. In order to clarify the issues involved, we are bringing you an interview with Mr. Raymond Schedule, a local grocer, and Mrs. Harold Tyler, a Kalamazoo housewife. Mr. Schedule, I believe you are an officer of the Local Grocers Association.
Yes, I am the president of the Kalamazoo County Grocers and Meat Dealers Association.
Are you in favor of yellow margarine?
Yes, I am in favor of yellow margarine.
Why, may I ask?
Well, for 2 reasons. First, our association is opposed to any discriminating laws. This old anti-margarine law, passed in 1901, discriminates against good food produced. Second, the members of our association are always looking for opportunities and ways to benefit our customers. If housewives want to buy margarine, why should they have to waste their time coloring it? And they can buy it yellow at no extra cost, provided they vote yes on yellow margarine amendment November the 7th.
Mrs. Tyler, are you in favor of yellow margarine?
I certainly am in favor of yellow margarine. We housewives are tired of being dictated to by the selfish butter people. For goodness sakes, they're even trying to tell us that we like to peel potatoes, pick cherries, wash dishes, and 100 other drudgeries, and can just as well color our own margarine. And that makes me mad.
Aren't you afraid, Mrs. Tyler, that your grocery man might sell you margarine for butter and charge you the price of butter?
My goodness, no. Not in these days. The state and federal law have taken plenty of safeguards on that score. Every package is securely wrapped and labeled, which is more than you can say for a lot of the butter on the market. Besides, I don't believe my grocery man would try to do such a thing if he could. The grocer who cheats doesn't get very far, and every grocer knows it.
Mrs. Tyler, before the broadcast, did I understand you to say that you had some information on the prices of colored margarine in Ohio and Indiana?
Yes, I do. And they don't agree with the malicious statements being made by butter people here in Michigan. I have friends in both Indiana and Ohio, and I know the price of colored margarine in these states is practically the same as white margarine is here at home.
Mr. Schedule, I understand the butter interests say the passage of this law will have a very adverse effect on the agriculture of the state. Would you care to comment on that?
Well, it hasn't had any bad effect in the 2 states south of us, Ohio and Indiana. They both have yellow margarine. In fact, I think the laws, if passed, will have a good effect upon agriculture.
What do you mean by that last statement, Mr. Schedule?
Well, it's this way. Butter brings the lowest return of milk of any branch of the dairy industry, actually about half as much as it would if sold as liquid milk. And the sale of butter should fall off, which hasn't happened in other states that have repealed their anti-yellow margarine laws. The dairy farmer would sell his milk where it would bring him a larger return. Smart dairymen have always done that. In 1930, 38% of Michigan milk was used to make butter. but by 1948, only 15% of the Michigan milk went into butter. In 1948, the dairy income was $218 million, and butter constituted only 12% of it.
Those are interesting facts. As you say, the farmer is a smart businessman nowadays, and he will pick the market that pays him best. Mrs. Tyler, you seem to be convinced that Michigan should have yellow margarine, as 32 other states now have. What are you going to do about it?
Thanks for asking me that. I'm going to call all of my friends and pledge them to get out the vote and vote yes on Proposal 4 November 7th, and have each of them call five of their friends and do the same. I hope every woman listening will get right on the phone and follow the same plan. This is really up to us women. Let's all vote and do away with that obsolete discriminating law.
Let's get this straight. You want each listener to call five friends, get them to go to the polls November 7th and vote yes on Proposal 4. And each one is to call five more friends, enlisting similar pledges. Sort of like an old-fashioned chain letter, isn't it?
Exactly. But if, in this case, only telephone calls are involved and it is for a good cause, I think the housewife should feel deeply indebted to the grocers of Michigan for their help in this campaign.
Thank you, Mrs. Tyler and Mr. Schedule. This interview was sponsored by the Michigan Retail Grocers and Meat Dealers Association as a public service in behalf of the Michigan housewives.